And all the people who will be on the ballot, excluding Madame Okwadonko, are on the front page. And they have isolated Dr. Mahmoud Bamia and John Dramani Mahama and put them up there. The rest right. down there. I saw Kofi Akpaloo yesterday also. He was insisting to me that me, I'm seeing what's on the ground, but he sees beyond what's on the ground, and that in the spirit, he's already won the election. That's what Kofi Akpaloo told
me.
He
said he won in which spirit?
In the spirit, he's won. He will manifest.
And he was telling me the last time, the one with the number of stones David used to kill Goliath.
Yeah.
Five. And I said, Kofi Akpaloo, you knew you won't win this election.
Oh, take your time.
He said how many? Five.
Yes, yes.
I'm pretty sure it was one stone that
killed. Oh, as in he had five stones.
Yeah,
no, but he asked how many were used to kill Goliath.
Yeah, how many stones he had?
Yeah.
How many stones he had?
Five. Okay. And I say
you should clarify.
I don't know. But what I do know is that Kofi Akpaloo will not win.
Oh.
I told him that.
We have not.
You have some will.
He knows he won't win.
But are you the one to go and kill somebody?
That is helpful honesty.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
He knows somebody he
has
win.
Spent money, invested, has a dream, believes in something. Oh, allow the result to, you know, wake him up.
Oh, please.
Okay. So, if you don't know, maybe if I tell the people they will know, Daniel Latte Jr. is on the ballot.
He's not part.
GCP. Christian Kwabena Andrews. Osofo Chirabosum.
Also not part.
It's also on the ballot. Oh, take your time, eh? Mohammed St. Paul of the NDP. Nana Konedua Jima Rawlings' NDP is there. Then Kwame Nkrumah's CPP is represented. The only woman in the race, truly in the race, Nana Kosia Frimpong, Kuma Nkuma. So if you believe in the Nkrumah philosophies, please, you have a candidate in the election.
It won't happen.
Then there is APC's Hassan Ayariga. Mm-hmm. I saw Hassan Ayariga's campaign message 2 days ago. Looks like this year he has slowed down on the campaign, but
he knows he's not going to win.
Hey, oh, no, take your time. I'm just mentioning candidates. Then there is Kofi Crantin, who's an independent candidate. He's been on news for a couple of times, and now he speaks English.
Very good.
Yeah. What are you saying?
I don't know about very good. I mean, he has an accent.
He has an accent. Yeah. Well, he speaks very good.
George Chumberma Edu. George Chumberma Edu. You know he's related to Frank Edu, right?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I see.
Yeah, he's related to Frank Edu. Okay. He's an independent candidate.
Wait, are they not both related to the late MP?
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. In fact, in his profile, George Chumberma Edu, I added the relations. Yeah. Now, Nana Kwame Bediako, aka Cheddar, aka he used to be something else.
Freedom Jacob Caesar.
Brilliant. Yeah. Aka African something.
Yeah, the Prince of Africa.
The Prince of Africa.
He says there's no Prince of Africa, so he claimed it.
So is he also not part?
He's not part. He's not winning.
So now there is also Alan John at Asieho, Alan John Kwejo Chemartin.
He would also not win.
Okay. So Winston has eliminated all the people I've mentioned in the second tier. And Winston is behaving like the Daily Graphic, isolating only John Dramani Mahama and Dr. Mahmoud Bamia.
One of them would win.
Or
it will go to a second round.
All three
options are possible.
Anyway, so the stories here you should know about. Eastern and Western regions vote special voting today. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people should get to know, because their own was suspended when they had to go and ban some of the printed ones. But today they are voting, special voting. I hope that the issues that were raised in the previous one will not be repeated. Because this is almost like the dress rehearsal for the main election.
Yeah.
If we get it wrong in this special voting, which is specialized set of people, professionals like journalists, professionals like police officers, who are expected to know, appreciate the laws of this country, not taking food and all the other things in the queue anyway. But, well, that's happening today in the Eastern and Western regions. And the NDC, NPP scramble for Upper West Region seats is also on the front page. But the other one, the introduction to the story is very interesting. Michael Quay writes, after a journey of prophecies, religious endorsements, huge rallies, and tough talk and lofty promises, the 2024 election campaign reaches the final stage today. with two of the presidential candidates standing on the caps of history, and they have mentioned them, right? So that's how it's going to be like. We are looking forward to this. Today, Weston and Co. will be on TV bringing you live coverage of the two most important events of the day. Mm-hmm. That is MPP and NDC rally, boot for boot, around the same time. So I don't know how coverage is going to be done anyway.
We'll see how the coverage goes. But the Daily Guide for today says, we are ready. Someone just sent me a message and says, because of you, I vote for Kofi Akpaloo.
You put it to shame.
You know, somebody, I met a man yesterday and he said his mother had called him. I don't have his permission to mention. He said, Dada, na abani ya tunesen. MPP fuye ase bibi sa no. Me to mama hama so. Na, adebi ya met nefie. Ana aminya nasa, minsa hankwa nkwa tunesa. You know, so, you know, people would take their own decisions.
We've talked a lot here about how.
I've been advising my family members how to vote.
Oh no no!
Who to vote for? Two. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've talked a lot here about how, you know, in Ghana we think voting is betting, right? So we think
it's betting.
It's betting, right? So we think that we want to choose the winner, right? We want to put our vote on the one who will win.
Yeah.
But it's not betting. When you put money on the one who will win and he wins, you get a dividend, right? But in voting, you don't get a dividend just because he won. You get a dividend if the right person wins, right? So it's not about putting your vote on the one who will win, but putting it on the right person. This is why we need to stop thinking about this. It's either A or B. It's either NDC or MPP. Just look through the thing. Is there like a right person?
Kofi Akpaloo too. And no ye men.
The Daily Guide says we are ready for MPP and NDC rallies. Please. Ghana Publishing Outdoors e-Gazette app. And the big one on here is that Stephen Amoah tips Bamia to win. Stephen Amoah isn't going to tip anyone.
But why is that a big one?
That's
the big headline. Yes. I'm surprised. Yeah. Like, that's news?
Oh, well.
Who else would he tip to win?
Exactly, you expect him to tip Bamia.
Maybe up until now he was not sure.
Okay.
And the man is now making the declaration.
maybe he's done his
analysis.
Modeling.
Uh-huh.
Stika in his modeling.
Yeah.
Vote wisely. That's according to, you know, Roman Fada, right?
Yes. Philip Akubi.
Yes, Ekuadonko's running mate who failed to make it onto the ballot.
Has he endorsed anyone else?
The party has endorsed John Mahama.
Right.
Haptel demands apology and retraction from media house and its presenter. John Boydu rallies votes for NPP, and Black Stars preaches peace ahead of elections. That's on the back page.
Oh, I've not seen him at the center of the campaign crowd.
Who?
John Boydu.
Yeah, I'm sure. And player writes Jesus on armband despite warning. And this is interesting. So, you know, in England, they have this armband, you know, in support of LGBTQ plus. And a player, Mark Gehi, writes, "I love Jesus" on that captain's armband. And they say, "No, you know, you don't have to write religious things and whatever. The next time he writes, "Jesus loves you."
So I love Jesus is not acceptable.
Jesus loves me.
But Jesus loves you.
But they've decided they won't punish him. Manchester United, for instance, the players decided to wear a jacket in support of LGBTQ, and one of its players, who is a Muslim and Moroccan, says he cannot do it.
Okay.
And so the team decided, in order not to let that player look odd, they won't wear it. But that's also on the back page of the Daily Guide.
Now, isn't it getting to the point of ridiculousness now? You know, the things that we are okay with are very strange compared to the things that we are not okay with as a society, right?
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Now, the New Finder is reporting this morning, inflation rate climbs to 23% in November.
From 22.1, yeah?
It's climbing. I mean, yes, the way the Bank of Ghana has been able to do magic with the city, or is doing magic, or is trying or attempting to do magic with the city, that's if it's the Bank of Ghana's job, because it's their job to keep it in check anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think inflation is also one of the things that we expect them to roll. Because mostly, the currency and inflation are things you, if you put in check, it helps everybody.
Yeah.
Many people may not understand or care about other elements of economics, but when they know they are buying food prices at lower prices, when they know that the imported goods that they are buying are also at very low prices and don't have to cough up so much money to pay school fees, to pay other things, things that they will need anyway, and to provide healthcare.
Yeah.
Remember the other time, Professor Irene Susanna G talked about how kinky could itself be an imported food product and went through the process of getting kinky to your table and the imported elements involved in that.
Yeah.
We should, as priority, and stop talking about other things and prioritize two things, inflation and exchange rate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not linked to other things, but these two helps greatly. I am looking forward to seeing the drivers of this 23%. I'm looking forward to seeing now that they add gobe, they add fufu, they add all the other food products to the list. I'm looking forward to see the impact of inflation on these things. Because sometimes we just say it's imported stuff only, but we may not check whether fufu too. Fufu at Winston's favorite.
La Paloma.
Yeah, La Paloma. Is also seeing some higher inflation.
Of course, the strength of the currency does have an effect on inflation.
True.
But the question is, how fast do we see it, right? The currency is strengthening, but at what point will that convert into, a control on prices, right? Because here in Ghana, the prices don't come down. Everybody is still selling their old stock or whatever they call it. So it takes forever. In fact, it usually doesn't ever happen that a price will come down.
The time they promise us that the price will come down, that's the time that the impact of the interim or not so consistent impact of the strengthening of the city will be over.
Exactly.
That was where the problem is.
And actually, that's why the price won't come down, because the traders are expecting that the city's recovery will not be sustainable.
Maybe before we move on, have you heard exactly what the NPP and the NDC, the parties you say are likely to win this election? Winston says, I know there's Kofi Akpaloo too, but the parties that Winston is assisting are likely to win this election. Have you heard what exactly they will do to actually reduce inflation and also improve the currency?
After the BBC News, we'll talk about
it. We'll talk about that. Yes. Brilliant. So, the last one, election 24, time for a delicate balancing of act of for businesses. Okay, that's also the front page there. Yeah.
Well, the Ghanaian Times says, who occupies presidential seat? Comes with photographs of Dr. Bamia John Mahama, Alan Chairman Ting, and Nana Kwame Bediako. EC conducts special voting exercise in Eastern Western regions today. So, the Ghanaian Times.
Oh, they expanded there?
Just four. It means that
still, Mr. Akpaloo is not in.
He didn't be Jay, didn't be.
As you attempt to make up your mind about who to vote for, we're 48 hours away from the opening of the ballot, and some of you are sending your answers through. Let me read a couple of them before we get Lois in on the conversation. So, this one says, "Good morning, Joy FM. I will vote based on the economy, because I live in Aflawo and the exchange rate keeps on escalating. The city continues to lose value. Can you imagine? It takes 27 Ghana cities to get 1,000 CFA. It's too bad." And that's from Wilson. I've got one here from Victor in DC. He says, good morning. He said, good morning, Winston. What would influence my decision would be rent, honesty of politicians, and basic needs of life, for example, food, water, and electricity. This one from Abraham, who writes from Sogakope, says, I have carefully considered the options available to us, and I've decided that Ghana must take a break, make a break from the corruption, the economic mismanagement, and the arrogance being exhibited by this government. I want change, and I believe it is the best for this country. Here's one more. Kojo, we agree with you. I think this is the thing about the transformational leaders. Kojo, we agree with you, but these leaders are elected, and who elects them? Do we vote for transformational leaders? We only vote parties and slogans. We are as guilty as those we elect. Let's be the change we want. And that's BB talking in North Kanishi. Lois.
Yes, sir.
these first time voters, mm-hmm. what's on their minds?
Thank you once again, but we've done 10 episodes of Just and Dating. I
10
mean,
already?
Yes, 10.
Wow.
And you've seen the start of it, because I mean, we had conversations even before we got into it. And I mean, the main reason we put this together is to get the pertinent issues that will influence the decision of the first time voter. Speaking to them, 10 episodes it's been, the topmost conversation, or what was said most, dominating our conversations, were issues on education, on land degradation, and then also on, have I said education already? Yeah, and yeah. unemployment.
Right.
So employment issues.
Jobs,
yes.
education.
Yes.
And land. So would that include Galamsey?
Yes, yes.
Right?
Definitely.
Jobs, education, Galamsey. What else?
So there were many, but these are focused. So
top three.
Yes, most of them also felt like they weren't included in the whole political scene and in governance as well. Also, there are so many. There are so many things that they've said, but these were the topmost ones. Yeah. When we speak, when we pick education, what did they really want? Most of it was on the free SHS policy. Most of them feel that it could be better. We had a full episode only for that, and I'll take you through some of the things that came out of that conversation. For free SHS discourse, we spoke to people who have been through the process. We spoke to persons living with disability who have also enjoyed free SHS as well. And then we spoke to people who are on the street. So when I say people on the street, I'm speaking about the head porters on the street who have also enjoyed the free SHS policy. And they told us some of the things that have come out from it. So we take some. So in the free SHS discourse, majority believe that the policy has been taken away, or has taken away some of the financial burden from their parents. So they are not disputing the fact that it has helped.
Right. Good.
It has. Mm. It has really helped parents, even some of the children, because they've also told us that if free SHS didn't come, they are not sure they would have been able to go to school.
Right.
Yes. So it has taken away the financial burden. But issues of infrastructure deficits. They went to school, they didn't have proper infrastructure to sit under. They didn't have classrooms to sit under. Even when you say classrooms to sit in, even their dormitories, it wasn't enough for them. So they ended up in a room that is supposed to take maximum 10, was taking 20. So it was very uncomfortable for them. Mind you, they have already said how good it was. We are not paying. I mean, who doesn't want free? But the fact that they had to maneuver, it was very uncomfortable. They didn't have enough structure. Also, they spoke about food. According to them, free SHS, they are not fed better. And they know this because they've spoken to people who didn't enjoy the free SHS. And they have told them, oh, during our time, we had good food. We're given 3-course meals. Now, I told you we spoke to head porters. Those who enjoyed these policies ended up telling us that, oh, they have enjoyed it all right. But in school, they didn't even have the policy given them, or under the free SHS policy, they didn't have enough to eat, you know, which is very sad on their part. Also, some of them told us that the results have been withheld because people were not even coming to class. Their teachers weren't coming to class as they expected.
So the quality of teaching,
exactly,
they feel was not good.
Yes, yes. So I told you we had a full conversation with 8 of them who have enjoyed it. At the end of the day, 37.5% want the policy to be demolished, in fact, abolished. They don't
You're kidding me.
Yes.
37.5%
yes,
of them
out
want
of the eight,
free
yes.
SHS to be stopped.
Yes, at once.
Wow.
They don't want to hear anything of it because they feel it hasn't served its purpose. Out of that same conversation, 12.5% want the policy to be maintained.
Right.
So others wanted to also be reviewed. So even though some people think that, okay, it didn't serve its right, others think that, oh, it's a good thing. It helped our parents, it helped ourselves, and also we can just make it better. For the persons with disability, they are hoping that they get free tertiary institution. So when it comes to education, they want better quality education. The fact that they can step into their classrooms, have their teachers in there teaching full hours without any breaks is what they're expecting.
That's fascinating. So really, only about 12.5% of the people you spoke to came to the conclusion that it's okay as it is.
Yes, it is.
The rest of them either wanted gone or wanted improved.
Yes, yes. So a huge chunk of them wants it. But as I was saying, it's interesting because you get to hear that, okay, at least they still want the policy. They don't say, they never disputed it. They never said, oh, it's not a good policy. It's a good policy. They like it. They are reaping from it. But the fact that there are some things that they want to change.
Right.
Can it be improved? Can they go to the classroom and have their teachers in there the whole day? Because these headquarters tell you that the reason they're not even continuing school is because they are not sure they're well equipped. They didn't learn much in SHS. Because they go to classrooms, their teachers don't come at all. And when you ask, they're like, oh, we're not even being paid well, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, these are things that first-time voters raised. And yes.
Right. So that's on education.
Yes.
They also cared about jobs.
Yes, they do.
And about Galamsey.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk about jobs. What were the main things that were on their minds?
When it comes to jobs, most of them feel like there's a lot of nepotism in our system. They end up going to school, come back, and then instead of them getting jobs that they feel they deserve, they are let go of. So they're at home, they're not getting proper jobs to do, and they're not really even being encouraged to get into startup business, to even start up their own initiatives. So according to them, more employment, they should create employment for them in many of the sectors, especially when it comes to technology now. You know, most of our first-time voters, or in this new current state we find ourselves, when it comes to technology, and a lot of people are really involved in it, especially our youth. It's taught everywhere in Ghanaian schools, and they're really excited about it. They want more avenues to show what they've learned.
Right.
They're tired of just the when you go to school, they call that, you see, we have practicals and then we have what we do, the theory. When you learn that theory and you're not able to show what you've done, what was the use then?
Right.
Yes, so employment, they do want more employment opportunities, and that even leads into the you know, land degradation, especially Galamsey. Most of them are saying if they had sustainable jobs, if they had sustainable jobs, they wouldn't be doing you know, Galamsey. I mean, you're given money to sit in an office space, you'll be able to do what you want to do. Also, some of them, funny enough, has said it's not only the office spaces that they're looking at. You know, there's so many ways they can get work to do. There's so many things, even hand jobs. Just make sure that you create the avenue. You know, for the headquarters we spoke to, they had been promised time and time again that they were going to be given jobs. Even on the streets of Circle, we spoke to some of the young boys and girls sleeping on the streets, and they'll tell you they've been promised by numerous parties, especially elections. They don't hear anything till it's elections, you see. Political parties going there, trying to speak to them, saying, when we come, we'll give you jobs, we'll take you off the streets. They come into power and nothing happens. So these first-time voters on the streets are saying that until they're given jobs, until they're promised that, okay, when we come into power, we'll give you sustainable jobs to do, we are not voting.
Right.
But we have to remind them that it is their you know, civic responsibility to vote, and then to get them to understand that, you know, they should pay attention to the policies that would, you know, solve all these issues for them so that they can move from there.
Right. So Galamsey, how was Galamsey influencing the choices of the first-time voters?
I mean, we're in Ghana. Just last month or two, we had youth going around fighting because, Kojo, you see, when our land is destroyed, it doesn't only affect parents, it affects the youth as well. You understand? So youth understand that these things are very key. I mean, our forest body, our forest reserves are getting destroyed, our water bodies are getting I spoke to a person living with a disability, visually impaired, who said he's even scared of the water he's drinking because he can't see. You know, he can't see the water to say, okay, this is clean, this is not clean. Some are even scared that very soon we'll start importing water from outside, which is scary. So the youth wants Galamsey to be stopped, illegal mining to be stopped, so we can get our waters looking good, our forest reserves good. So when it comes to land degradation, this the until it's changed, most of them have listed it as a very key issue as to why, or issue that would influence a decision in the voting booth.
It's fascinating stuff. And of course, the series went through 10 episodes. Yes. Is there more to come, or are we done?
Unfortunately, we are done. But just last month, we had a simulation exercise for first-time voters to make sure that we teach them the right ways to get in there. We had reps.
How did that go?
Oh, it went well. It went well. We had it at the University of Ghana, but it was Youth Bridge Foundation that put it together for them. And we had a lot of first-time voters coming in to exercise. And, you know, people had misconceptions about it. And to see that when they came, all these misconceptions were taken away. They learned the proper way. And they are really excited to, you know, cast their ballot.
It's going to be exciting. And for the first time, we're going into an election with a much, much clearer idea of what these first-time voters have on their minds.
True, because this year it's already estimated that over 700,000 first-time voters will be voting. So using, you know, just under 18 to hear the voices of these first-time voters this year, I think it was good. It was very good because we've had a lot of them reach out to us saying they've heard a lot of things that they're excited about.
Beyond telling you about policies, were they convinced? Did they say they were likely to be influenced to vote based on ethnicity, based on religious affiliation, and those sort of things?
Yes. So, especially in our first three episodes, we tackled that because we've heard most of them came out to say, oh, this time they do not want to toe the line of the parents. So that's where ethnicity and religion comes in. They have seen for themselves. I'm telling you that this year proved to me that really first-time voters are ready to exercise their, you know, for the first time. They have for the first time. Because these people told us that they are not looking at ethnicity. Most of them, those we spoke to, said they are not looking at ethnicity, they are not looking at religion. They are looking at only policies to vote because they realized that their parents end up saying, oh, I'm voting for this person regardless
because
of how...
Born into
my mom said... Party. Exactly. Well, some of them even told me, their mom said, you have to vote for this party. And that is it. It's final. It's not up for discussion. So far as I'm this party, you are definitely this party. But they understood and told us that, no, this time they are not willing to do that because things must change in their favor.
Mostly, first-time voters are disruptors. They don't like status quo. They want to make real change because of the idealism with which they think they can impact politics of the period. Are your people thinking in that direction? Is that how they think? Are they people who are willing to vote for strange or extraordinary candidates? I mean, I'm using these words.
Yes, they are. As I said, these people are listening. You may think they are not. That's what I want everyone to understand. That this year, if there's anything I learned personally on grounds, is the fact that these first-time voters are listening. They are going beyond the ordinary. So, because I don't want to politicize this, I'll just say they are looking beyond their extraordinary. So on a regular day, if you say, I will come in and give you jobs and people would have been okay. This time they're looking at when the jobs come, what type of jobs are you creating?
Okay.
So they're looking beyond this and looking at extraordinary, I can tell you.
Perfect. Now, I mean, maybe specifically, is a first-time voter likely to vote for Cheddar or choose MPP or NDC?
Well,
I see. I'm putting MPP and NDC together, established political parties, established political history.
Against the new.
Duopoly. Against somebody who's entirely new and an independent candidate by all standards and qualifications.
Well, some of them, because also we didn't want to make a partisan, we didn't get them saying, but per the policies they raised, I can tell you for a fact that there are some that are looking at a new party.
Okay.
Like Cheddar. Because they've heard that, oh, he says when he comes, he's going to do this for us against what we normally hear. And also because these first-time voters are tired of, I don't want to say tired, but probably they've also seen enough of the two major political parties. And they're open to seeing more from another political party. Because as I said, these people have seen their parents constantly stay with these two major political parties. And they to them, there still hasn't been any change. So how about we change and see what the new political party has for us? So they are looking beyond it. I can tell you for a fact that they are looking beyond it.
Generally, are they... Do they show signs that they are fed up with democracy?
Not democracy, but, you know, most of them said it looks like the the country is slowly becoming a two-party state. Mm-hmm. So it's not democracy they have a problem with.
Okay.
It's the fact that, why is it that we are not giving other political parties the chance? You know, because, I mean, aside these two, there are others. And every time we go, we look on the ballot sheet, it's not only the two parties that are there. There are other political parties. So why aren't we choosing them? You know, so these, I wouldn't say they are fed up of democracy. They are just slowly praying that the country does, or the state doesn't become a two-party state.
Do they think their politicians are accountable to them?
No.
They don't think so?
They don't. Accountability is one of the biggest, also one of the things they raised, that they don't feel that they are accountable enough. One of them said, the taxpayers' money, we don't know where it goes. So all the time we hear taxpayers' money. Where is it? You know, they are not accountable. They feel they are not accountable. And also they don't even feel, as I was telling Kojo, that they are involved.
Okay.
In the whole political process and in governance. They don't feel like they are involved. The persons living with disability also spoke about that there's been very few persons with disability who have assumed these roles in governance. Very few. It's very few, which is not even encouraging to them. So, for instance, if she's growing up and saying, oh, I want to assume this role, and she goes back to look and sees, oh, it's only two or three people that have assumed these positions, it doesn't give her confidence to say, one day I can get there.
Generally, were they satisfied with the tailor-made policies directed at young people?
Yes, they were. But they're hoping that also there'll be more. Because they feel like 4 years ago, they had the same tailor-made, policies. And, I mean, it's good, all right. But what can be done? What are some of the things that can be done to make it extra? There's more they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, it's been fascinating. We're going into this election with a very, very clear idea of what this particular demographic has on their minds. And it's all thanks to you and your team, Lois, and we're grateful to you for that. And of course, we'll be keeping you close so that you can give us more of these insights as the results start pouring in throughout our election coverage.
Yes, please.
Lois Adeyemi, host of Just Turned 18.